You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harks.
Welcome to Mistress of None. I am Erin Harks. Thanks so much for joining us again. Erin Harks, musician, comedian, event planner, podcaster, sober lady, ADD survivor. Is that, I don't know how you would even say that. I mean, it's kind of fitting that I'm not saying all this list to brag. I'm just, you know, it's important to know that's what I'm all about. And that's what each episode is going to be a little bit about. I touched upon the sober stuff quite a bit in the last episode. And so with this episode, I'm going to talk about music. Music has been my full-time job for 10 years now. This August, I will celebrate 10 years of walking out of my day job at Albany County, which was one of the best days of my life. it's right up there with getting sober, getting married, and some of the people I've gotten to work with over the years. Walking out of there that last day, I think about what was the movie? Wet Hot American Summer, where Paul Rudd left the room each time with like a middle finger down like the top of his back every time he left the room. And that is how I walked out of that building at Albany County. And I actually went on a 6-month leave to see if it was something that I could handle, something that I wanted to do, something that I could afford to do. And during that 6 months, I honestly was broke. It was not great. But when I walked back in, I still hadn't made up my mind. And I walked back in to let them know if I was coming back or if I was staying gone. And I still wasn't sure. I parked my car. I wasn't sure. I walked up. I wasn't sure. I walked into the building and I was sure. I saw the security guard behind the counter say some dumb small talk thing to me that would just shoot my blood pressure straight up, you know? And I was like, that's it. I know what I'm going to do. And so for music, to make a living at it, especially when you're first starting out, it's not always up to you. I mean, like, I could have taken the artistic path, but then I probably would have definitely had to go back to the full-time job. So I did a lot of like solo shows, cover shows, whatever paid the bills. I haven't been able to do as much of the original stuff as I wish I could. And maybe that is partially due to ADD, but it's also partially due to working as much as I have. And I'm at a good point now where I can make better choices and do quality over quantity, and hopefully we'll get back to original music. And I think both of those things tie in so well together, the original music and being as attention deficit as I am. But I'm really excited today to talk about original music, and especially original music in this local scene. Honestly, the past few years, the scene itself has been what has inspired me to get back into writing more music so that I can be more present and more current and stay relevant in this community, because there are some really amazing singer-songwriters in the Capital Region right now, and I'm in awe of them. Like, I hear songs that I immediately throw on, you know, my Spotify and put it on my playlists, and I don't know if that was as true 10 years ago, and I think it's really a great time. Every year I see it, like, you know, with things like the Eddie Awards and just all these events that they have, and listening to some of this great music, it's inspired me. I want to be part of it again. And I know that I can be if I can just get focused and stop taking, you know, some of this work that just robs my soul. It's great for the comedy, but it's terrible for the songwriting thing. So today's guest is going to talk more about that with me, and it's going to be a fantastic interview. This is definitely for the music lovers, which I am one, and I believe you are too. Otherwise, what are you doing here? This is Mistress of None. I am Erin Harks. We'll be back in just a minute or two with Jim Gilbert from Nippertown.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harks.
Welcome back to Mistress of None. This is Erin Harks. Thanks again for tuning in. Our guest today, he's not used to being interviewed. He is normally the interviewer. And so I'm not going to let him off the hook that easy. I'm going to ask him like the real hard-hitting questions. I'm going to make him as nervous as possible. I wish you could see his face right now. He looks really happy to be here. Now, he's fantastic, and I love him, and you will too. My guest today is Jim Gilbert. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Thanks for being had.
Yes. So, you know, combination of ADD and anxiety, so this is great.
I feel like they are almost, they don't occur separately so often. I'm wording that great. I talk real good.
Yeah, they go hand in hand.
They really do go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't know that though.
No, or people don't accept it. I talk to people that I know have a combination of the two things. And I feel like once I accepted that I had anxiety and ADD, I was like, oh, it's so much easier to navigate things now that I know.
I think anxiety is there with a lot of those neuroatypical, like depression or ADD or that. I think anxiety plays a role in all those.
Of course it does. I laughed. My saxophone player a couple of weeks ago, he was explaining to me how anxious he was. And I joked, I go, oh, is that what anxiety is? And he goes, no, I don't have anxiety. I just get really anxious. And I have not stopped making fun of him ever since then for saying that. I usually, you know, like any good comedian, I just ride the joke until the wheels fall off. But before we get into, you know, medication and fun stuff like that, you run the publication Nippertown.
I do.
Tell us a little bit about that for those four people that don't know.
Nippertown is an online publication that started in 2009 by Greg Hames. Mm-hmm. He started it as a way to promote local music, and He ran it for 10 years before he unfortunately passed away and left this gaping hole in the local music scene, because Greg was a great writer, knowledgeable, great, you know, just all around. He was a symbol of the Capital Region.
100%.
So Nippertown went off the offline, and nobody knew what was going to happen to it. And I talked to Michael Eck and Sarah Ayers. Sarah was his partner, his wife and partner with Nippertown, and Michael Eck was his best friend. I talked to them, and, you know, they were trying to look for somebody to run it and to kind of archive it and keep Greg's legacy alive. And that's what I talked to them with my wife, Laura, and we took it over. And it was really just the intention of kind of keeping it status quo, keep it going as it is, because at the time I was still running New York State Music. And then it took on a life of its own.
Well, it took on a life of its own, or you helped facilitate that?
Yeah. So, you know, if you want something done, give it to the busiest person in the room.
Exactly.
And right. So, because they know how to get things done. And yeah, with COVID hit, everything kind of just blew up. It's like I needed to find content. So we started podcasts, we started videocasts, we started reaching out to this and reaching out to that. And where Greg did a lot of music and Sarah did some art stuff, we've reached out to art communities, and we started festival, you know, Nipperfest, and we just kind of expanded it and expanded it to where it is now. And it's pretty awesome.
That's great. What do you think of the local music scene right now?
I don't think there is a, you know, I want to say I don't think there was a better time to be in our local music scene than right now. I know people from the 70s and 80s and 90s, they all will disagree because every time they grew up is the best time.
Of course.
But right now we have such an eclectic mix of songwriters, singer-songwriters, bands. You name the genre, we have somebody who is really top-notch. And I find that very, I'm fortunate to be involved in it.
It's great. Yeah, as I said earlier, I definitely have been, I've been inspired by the local music scene, which is something I was not that I wasn't able to say, and it might be my fault for having not paid attention. I don't know what shifted that I started to pay attention, but.
The competitiveness and the arrogance is not there either. There's a sincerity, there's a community.
I'm finding that as well.
So, you know, I think in the 70s and 80s, there was a vibrant scene, and I was around in the 90s and the early 2000s, but I found it was very competitive. There was a lot of battle of the bands, a lot of different things.
And my God.
Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah, I did a few of them.
You know, and now it's like you go to a show and this band is joining this band and this guy is in that band and that band and then that, you know, and like everybody is like community. I don't know how many bands like Chris Carey are.
I was just thinking of Chris Carey, yeah.
You know, but it's just an amazing thing. And there's such a sense of community right now that I love it.
Yeah, you see like groups get together, like one of the notable shows was Girl Blue and Zan and the Hold On Honeys did that and Bell Skinner did the Joni Mitchell thing. And I watched that come together and I knew a few people that performed in that. And it just looked like such a magical event. I know obviously I'm using a cover gig as an example, but the idea of the camaraderie, especially between like female artists, because people are really quick to try and create like rivalries between women that perform that don't even exist. Just, I don't know if they're bored or whatever, but it was really nice to see that kind of camaraderie there. Melanie from Cersei and I always joke about how when we first played our first show together, when she first asked me, which was on like close to like 20 years ago, she asked me to do a show with her. And I was like, of course. And I started to tell people that I was playing with them and they were like, oh, I thought you guys didn't get along. And I was like, we don't even know each other.
Yeah, like why? People like to create drama where there is none.
Mm-hmm.
They just do.
I can't tell you how many times I've been at like something that has multiple performers. And when there's a woman on the stage, people will turn around to look at me or another female performer to see like our reaction. Like, oh, like, are you jealous? I'm like, no. Is she fucking my husband? No, I'm not jealous. Like, right. She's singing her song. But that's been happening to me since my teens. I've noticed that.
Even if it's not the same genre.
If it is.
Right.
Yeah, just saying like if she exists, I no longer exist. Like that's not how it works.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing because, you know, you can like you can like Italian food and Mexican food. You can like the color blue and the color green.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, you can only like one local artist.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
No, it's... You can like everybody and you can appreciate everybody and you can follow them all. It doesn't hurt anything to support more than one artist.
Exactly. And it's nice to see there's a few bad apples in the bunch that I've noticed. I'm not going to bring anybody up in particular, but there's somebody who runs like a jam kind of thing and is always trying to get people out, which I appreciate. But it almost feels like this like bullying type of, oh, you've never been out to this. You've never been out to that, so I'm not going to do anything for you. I'm like, well, I didn't ask you to do anything for me, but also, like, again, alcoholic. I work, like, 90 hours a week. If I have a night off, the last thing I'm going to do is go to a bar. So there's other ways to support one another, like, you know, share a contact, you know, have people, like, split bills with you. Like, for me, I've had a couple of original shows come up, and I've been working with this girl, her name is Natalie Santini. It helps that she also plays with my guitar player, which is how I met her. I guess it was her guitar player first, whatever. But they are a couple and they make music together and they're fantastic. She's got a great voice. She doesn't threaten me at all. I like her as a person and a musician. And I love having her like, you know, open things for me. And maybe someday, you know, 15 years from now when she has big doing. Hopefully it'll be before 15. You know, don't take a 10-year drinking blackout sabbatical. You know, hopefully she'll be in the position where she could bring in younger artists to open for her. And that's, you know, the kind of snowball effect that you want to see occur in a community like this.
It really is. I mean, that's my goal is I want to raise the scene up to the point where it gets national attention.
It should. It deserves it.
Yeah.
We've had some really great musicians like coming through. It's always sad when they go, but
it is.
It's bittersweet.
It's nice when they come back, though.
It's always nice when they come back. So we've been talking to Jim Gilbert from Nippertown and ADD and many other things. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Jim.
Hey, thanks for having me. And oh, look, a squirrel.
Maybe I should have you on for part two of the ADD that we'll never get to.
We'll never get to it.
So you can follow Jim on nippertown.com and all of the handles on the social media. This is Mistress of None. I'm Erin Harkes, and we'll talk to you in a little bit. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harkes.
So that was a lot of fun talking to Jim. This is Mistress of None. I'm Erin Harkes. We just talked to Jim Gilbert from Nippertown, and we mentioned ADD and whatnot when he was on, and that's a fun thing to talk about. I feel like there's a whole new wave. I read an article about ADD or ADHD being very prevalent and undiagnosed in women, and basically it just takes like, you know, one good article for people to start paying attention to it. I was diagnosed with ADD when I was 16. And they gave me something for it, and I didn't like how it made me feel. And I remember, like, arguing with the doctors and saying, like, why do I need to take this? I am a teenager who doesn't pay attention. That seems like something normal. And I just laugh in hindsight that there was ever a time in my life where I refused drugs. But I did not want to take the medication. I was diagnosed with depression soon after that, and I didn't want to take medication for that, too. I thought, you know, I was like, my parents are getting divorced. I'm supposed to be sad, you know? So I was, like, really annoyed from a young age that they were really quick to medicate me for things. I recently, before I got married, about a year and a half ago, broke down and went on some anti-anxiety medication, which honestly has felt like vacation. I'm not advocating for it. But since I've broken the seal and started taking just a very low dose of something like that, I started looking into the ADD medication just so I could get some shit done, honestly. And again, I'm very careful about what I take because I'm sober. And I'm like, you know, anything that I used to crush up and snort recreationally is probably not something I should keep around in the medicine cabinet. But I did start taking something for ADD, and I can't remember what it was called, but the first four letters were METH. So, I mean, that's not a good sign. And I took it for a little bit, and it made me a little moody, which I don't need any help with. So, like a good person does, I call my doctor and I said, well, this stuff is making me sad. And they were like, well, we've never heard of that happening before. I was like, well, then congrats. I'm the fucking first. Let's, you know, write an article about me. I hate when they say that. That's never happened before. I'm like, well, maybe nobody ever told you that it happened before, but that was literally the only thing that changed. Because despite how cranky I am, I am a relatively happy person. And there was a shift, and I wasn't happy. And I was, like, really, really sad. So I stopped taking it, tried something smaller, whatever. We're going to see what works out. So maybe that'll be another big branch on the tree of things that we talk about, medications and stuff like that. Or maybe I'll just do my whole routine. This feels like the routine that I recorded for my comedy special a couple of months ago, talking about medications. Or maybe we should just call the podcast ADD, because I feel like I'm all over the place. I could definitely use one less cup of coffee, one more prescription. Who knows? Try and keep up. I know I will. You definitely don't have to worry about me repeating myself in this podcast, because I never know what I'm talking about for too long. But I did enjoy today's episode about music, talking with Jim Gilbert from Nippertown, who is like, there's a few publications in the area, but that's definitely like the end all be all. If you want to know what's going on in the capital region, check out Nippertown. We're going to have him back. We're going to talk about them a bit. And because the more I talk about them, the more they talk about me. And that's how that works. So thank you again for tuning in to Mistress of None. Like, listen, follow, find me online, share with your friends, share with your enemies. Again, I don't care. Just because you don't like them doesn't mean they're not a good person. They could be great. I could really enjoy them and definitely like those numbers. Let's keep them up. This is Mistress of None. I am Aaron Harkes, and we'll see you soon.